Bust it. Fellas, try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down cause you're overzealous. Play hard to get females, get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily clad, are showing body. A chick walks by, you wish you could sex her, but you're standing on the wall like he was Poindexter. Next day's function, high class luncheon. Food is served and you're stone cold munching. Music comes on, people start to dance, but then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes to groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust a move. Someone could cure your lonely condition. Looking for love in all the wrong places. No fine girls, just ugly faces. From frustration, first inclination is to become a monk and leave the situation. But every dark tunnel has a lighter hope. So don't hang yourself with a celibate rope. New movie's showing, so you're going. Could care less about the five you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust a move. So they can seem witty. Tell a funny joke just to get some play. Then you try to make a move and she says no way. Girls are faking, goodness saking. They want a man who brings home the bacon. Got no money and you got no car. Then you got no woman and there you are. Some girls are sadistic, materialistic. Looking for a man makes them opportunistic. They're lying on the beach perpetrating a tan so that a brother with money can be their man. So on the beach you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen. A girl runs up with something to prove. So don't just stand there and bust a move.
If you want it, you got it. You want it, baby, you
just
got
bust the move.
If you want it, you got it. You want it, baby, you
break it down
got
for me, fellas. Has a brother Larry. In 5 days from now he's gonna marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can, cause in the ceremony you'll be the best man. You say neato, check your libido and roll to the church in your new tuxedo. The bride walks down just to start the wedding and there's one more girl you won't be getting. So you start thinking, then you start blinking. A bridemaid looks and thinks that you're winking. She thinks you're kinda cute so she winks back. And now you're feeling really firm cause the girl is stacked. Reception's jumping, bass is pumping. Look at the girl and your heart starts thumping. Says she wanna dance to a different group. Now you don't want to do G, bust the move.
If you want it, you got it. You want it, baby, you
just bust the move.
You want it, you got it. You want it, baby, you got
it. Move it, boy.
You're listening to Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM. Okay, these headphones are way too big for my head. Can you see this? It's not right. Hi, folks. It's been a while since I've been in here. That was the wonderful Ink Studs theme song by the always incredible Brian Fukushima. Thank you for doing that, Brian. I love you, as does everyone else. We miss you in Vancouver. God damn you, Toronto. My guests this week are Robin Bougie.
Hello.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Hello.
Oh, maybe it's not. Oh.
Turn on the mic. That's a good idea.
There we go. Turn on mic one, mic two. Oh, it's been a while since I've been in the studio. Can you tell? Robin Bougie, it's been a long time since Robin's been on the show.
Yep, been a while.
I miss you, Robin.
Yeah, I miss you too.
Bro, Robin, since coming on the show, I don't remember last time. It was for an issue of Cinema Sewer. We were joined by the wonderful Phil Barrett.
Yeah, it was a while back.
Another man who I miss. He's in Ireland. God damn you, Ireland. And since that, when you were on, you've since had three books come out, or two books and a third one.
Third one is actually just come out in the last week or so, but that's only in England, and it'll be here in I guess like a month. So
nice,
yeah.
Whenever the shipment comes in,
exactly.
And next to Robin is his wonderful wife.
Hi, everybody.
It's Rebecca Dart.
Hi.
Hey, Rebecca also was on the show probably 4 years ago to talk about Rabbit Head and various other comic-y things, and is even in the Ink Studs book, speaking of books.
That's right. I think it was actually about 5 years ago, because that came out in 2006.
Wow. That's a while ago. Her latest book, self-published, Battle Kittens.
Yeah, it's a sketchbook, a collection of sketches, and there's some comic book work, but it mostly focuses on my Battle Kittens art.
Which we will get into. Mm-hmm. The wonderful, wonderful Battle Kittens. And sitting in the corner there, drawing on himself, is... What? Are you like my Flava Flav to Chuck D? You know?
I'm not that excitable.
Bring the mic a little closer to your face.
Hello, world.
You're not even speaking to the front of it yet.
All right.
There we go. That's better. Brandon Graham. Brandon, thank you for coming joining us today.
Yeah.
The reason these three folks are here together today, other than being fabulous Vancouver cartoonists, is that all three of them are guests at the Vancouver Comics and Stories Convention on Sunday at Heritage Hall at 15th and Main. The actual proper address is 3102 Main Street. This is a kind of annual thing that the folk that puts on the Vancouver Comic Con does every summer, focusing on small press work. This year, the special guests are... James Stokoe, who is not in the room, so we can talk about him meanly.
He's here in spirit.
I don't trust that spirit.
I saw a penis drawing on the way in.
There we go. His comic is Orcstain, which is basically an orc battling through a world of phalluses.
Thus the staining.
Thus the stain. It is stained. James, why? Brandon, as already mentioned, is here as one of the special guests, and Rebecca as well as a special guest at the thing, and other folks. I'm just going to go through this list here. So, you know, I don't even realize more people here than on the thing than I thought than I should have had come out today. I'm a bad, bad radio host. Robin Bougie in the room.
I do Cinema Sewer Magazine.
Yay. Jesse Davidge, who does Mathemagic and Metaphysics. Mystophysics. Sorry if I got the name of that wrong, Jesse. Derek's Copyright Infringers. Do you want to kiss it better?
I do.
I have no idea who that is.
And thank you for asking.
Because you kissed it wrong the first time.
I'm always trying to kiss it a little better every time.
Trevor Frick, Centauri Wave the Ninja, Kim Glennie, Emily and Zola Girls Room, Mary Krapolis, her wonderful strip, Tiny Vices, a good friend of ours, Steve LeCouliard, will be there with his book 3 of Much the Miller's Son. That book is big. It's a pretty book.
Big and hard.
It is. Miriam Levicki's...
Well, it's a hardcover, so...
Yeah, it is. It is. What? What do you say?
What? Yeah, I'm saying it's hardcover.
It is.
Yeah.
Miriam Lubicki's will be there with her Jobnik. I think she's getting up to like issue 9 or something. It's an excellent series. She has one collection out of like the first 5 or 6 books or something. I can't remember. Mike Meyer has new comics. Finally.
Hooray.
We're very excited.
I think he said like 2 or 3 new minis he's going to have.
That's great.
That's fantastic. With his series he's been doing called Space Jet. Another good friend of ours, Steve Rolston. That's what I realized. I should ask Steve to come out. Steve, I'm sorry. Steve. He'll be there with his excellent Ghost Project, which actually got announced, was it, at San Diego, that it's been picked up for a miniseries.
Right, and more importantly, it has a glow-in-the-dark cover.
It has a glow-in-the-dark. That cover is amazing. I think more books have glow-in-the-dark covers. Why don't your books have glow-in-the-dark covers?
Actually, Robin's book works well under a black light.
We need more foil die-cut incentives in the world of indie comics, I think, for cover art.
Yeah, screw the content.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
We need to get back to the perforated hard cardstock.
With holograms.
Holograms, exactly, yeah.
I'm just wondering where Brandon was going to bring comics under a black light. Were you going to, like, karaoke bar, a strip club? Like, what are you doing?
That was a semen joke.
CSI.
Don't you have to add a chemical to it before it shows the bodily fluids? Okay, just so folks know, listener discretion is advised as Robin and Brandon are both
naked.
That should be my discretion.
Brandon, the penis is looking great today, I gotta say.
Okay, really good. Some of Steve's other comics are Amico Superstar, One Bad Day, and his mustache. Oh, where did I go wrong today? Doug Savage, Savage Chickens, Jason Turner, True Loves, I can't talk. Torn Atkinson, Wei Kan Ho, Ken Bozum, Carrie Q. I can't talk today. I should be kicked off the radio. Jackie Klobuchar, Jenna Sokolsky, Critical Hit Comics, Guru Kitty Studios, Visions Found, and many more.
It's a big lineup. There's a lot of artists.
I think I need like a breather after that.
Yep. I think people would be crazy to not attend.
You've been doing it every year, Booge?
Yeah. I haven't missed a Comics and Stories show.
How many years?
Man, that's a good question. Like, more than I can count. It's good because it's the 1 year, even if you do go to the Heritage Hall comic shows, if you're not going to the comics and story shows, you're missing out on a lot of the creator-owned stuff. It's because it's a much more of a focus. It's the one show a year at the Heritage Hall where it's really a focus on the self-published stuff.
Which is very much along the lines of what we like here in the Ink Studs.
Yeah.
I think it was the convention that brought me to move to Vancouver, too.
Yeah, because you were like a special guest that got like flown up here and
yeah,
or driven up by Moritat.
I like to think of it as flown, even though it was in a car.
And that's where you met your lady love.
Yeah, it's a good singles hookup.
You hear that, folks? You never know who you'll meet. You could meet future Mr. or Mrs. Special.
That's the full title: Comics and Stories and Singles Hookups.
Is that why they have the wine bar in the back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to call in and yak with any of us, ask us questions, you can call in here 604-822-2487. Maybe you have a question for Brandon about his terrible puns. Maybe you want to know something filthy or esoteric from Robin, or maybe from Rebecca, the world of battle kittens or...
kittens.
Yeah, we just like to talk about comics.
Or My Little Pony.
Just ask us anything about comics and we'll answer.
But it says it on the poster. It says it on the poster.
Yeah, Rebecca worked on My Little Pony.
It's true. Don't tell anyone.
It's funny the name, because we were talking on the way down here about how kind of you don't own anything you work on that, and so it's really Their Little Pony.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, it is.
It was actually a really fun show to work on. I really enjoyed working on it. A lot of pink bows.
A lot of pink bows.
Curly cues. And
there's actually a little pink bow in your microphone.
Oh, nice.
I put that there.
Actually, a pony left it there.
Old habits die hard.
That would explain the road apples in the hallway.
That was me.
That was Brandon. Brandon. Yeah.
Brandon.
Just because you're naked doesn't mean you have to.
You know, I'm going to play a quick song and then we'll come back and talk about everyone's actual comics. What's this song we're playing right now, Mr.
Oh, this is the Swamp Dog. Well, as he was known in the 70s, but the great thing people need to Google is Swamp Dog Rat On, because he did an album where he's riding a giant rat, and it says Rat On. And before he became a cheesy funk master in the 70s, he was more of an R&B crooner in the 60s. So we're going to play one of his earlier tracks here.
Nice. Well, we'll be right back. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM.
Treat me gentle.
Back, Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. That was our sad moment.
That was romantic, actually.
That was romantic?
Sure. Yeah.
Brandon, get your hand off money. Okay, we're back, Inkstud. I'm joined by Robin Bougie, Rebecca Dar, and Brandon Graham, who are all going to be at Heritage Hall for the Comics and Stories Small Press Day, 3102 Main Street from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Brandon will actually only be there for the first half of the day. Or what time do you have to be gone by?
Oh, yeah, I got to leave in the middle. I'm not sure. Just I got to go to a wedding.
What's your problem?
I got to break it up.
We're going to break up the wedding?
Yeah.
He's a wedding crasher.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to show up right at the point where they're like, if there's anyone who says anything at this wedding, speak now. And I've made a list, actually.
The first part of it's just going to be a big barbarian scream.
Yeah, like, I'm dressing as Captain Caveman to bring to the wedding.
You're going to have a PowerPoint presentation?
Caveman with a PowerPoint? Yeah.
No wed, no wed.
Now, barbarians and cavemen seem to be an important thing for you right now, Rebecca.
Well, more barbarians than cave. I don't actually have any men in my barbarian world yet, but yeah.
Tell us about this barbarian woman riding giant kittens.
Well, I kind of came up with the idea because I was sort of like thinking about, actually I was kind of thinking about taboos and like, what's a taboo I could break or at least bend? And I was thinking, well, I actually think showing women in a violent context is more taboo than showing women in a sexual context. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to play around with that. And the way they look, they almost look like, they kind of look like chubby dwarves almost because they're so kind of like stout and big. And that was sort of a response that I was seeing a lot, how I was seeing women portrayed in a lot of popular culture and popular art, sort of being very stick thin and angular. And I noticed in fine art, there was a lot of women who were just being shown as with these blank, vacant faces, staring off into these heroin-induced, you know, thousand-yard stares. Because there's always been kind of a joke, like whenever in fine art, when you give a character an emotion, it becomes illustration. So I really wanted to have...
Strong words.
Well, it's kind of true. And then, so I wanted to make sure my women always had an emotion on their face. So that was sort of the crux of the idea of the barbarian. And the kittens came along because I was like, well, these women need a mighty steed. Because I just like drawing creatures and animals. And I was, well, I can make a giant boar. I can make a big bull type thing, and I was like, well, in my personal experience, the most vicious animal I've ever encountered are kittens. Because they have these little needle teeth and these little needle claws, and they don't know what to do with them.
They need a lump.
And I thought, you know, that'd be kind of cute, you know, and then plus these violent barbarian women against these cute, lovable kittens was a little sweetness to add to the salty.
I was really amused at how well she has, she has the kittens act like kittens. There's this great scene, I think, in the one that you're still working on. I was looking at where these two warrior women are going at each other on their steeds, and as they clash, they're like, you know, their swords hit, but the kittens are just kind of nuzzling.
Yeah, that's because the kittens are kittens.
Kind of nuzzling and purring, acting like kittens.
Yeah,
and so it's like they don't break character. They never do things that kittens wouldn't do. It's kind of it makes such a nice contrast when you're reading it.
Oh, cool.
Do they go into, like, a giant forest of balls of yarn or something?
Well, they can play with boulders as if they're balls of yarn.
Because they're big kittens.
Yeah. And you have to have a catnip mouse the size of a couch.
Wow. Now I want to have a couch full of catnip. That would be amazing.
I don't know how your cat would do with that.
Yeah. just lay there on
just
it.
Just stone. It
yeah.
And is that any different from what he currently does?
No. That's, yeah. Maybe it is full of catnip.
Poor Orson. He's such a noble man.
He's an old duffer now.
How old?
He's over 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
Asthmatic, borderline diabetic.
I don't know if you saw that drawing I did recently of my cat as a human.
Oh, that was fantastic.
So. Yeah, Rebecca posted this on her online. She posted a picture of what Orson would look like if he was a human. So, of course, he's aged in human years. He's like 78 years old. He's like this crazy old black guy that likes to sit on girls' laps and crinkle tissue paper on his hair.
Yeah, he's got like the little paper hat he's got on his own. Right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. If people want to check out Rebecca's stuff, is it r-dart.livejournal.com?
Yeah.
To take a peek.
I'm also on Flickr, too. All my stuff's on Flickr. And I'm on Twitter at r-dart.
Underscore,
sorry.
He knows better than you do.
I know.
It's called research.
Yeah, you're getting back on your game. You started slow, now you're getting strong. Yeah.
That's okay. This horse is about to fall over. Now, the work originally just started. It's like just doodles, like on post-its and stuff. Or
yeah, I mostly did them at work when I should have been working. But, you know, I just had to do, you know, something. And so, yeah, they kind of started out as just Post-it note doodles, which and I posted online.
Yeah, and you posted online. There was such a good reaction to it that kind of spurred you forward.
Yeah. And right now I'm actually working on a Battle Kittens graphic novel.
What?
Yeah. And so maybe, I think at the most it'll be about 150 pages. Maybe 120 to 150. And yeah, I'm doing all the thumbnails for that right now. And then hopefully it's going to be a storyline, full storyline. So with characters and things happening.
Do you have a publisher in mind?
No.
Or self-publish?
Well, a few things. Nothing concrete, we'll just say that. But I think people will be able to see it.
It's in the works.
Yeah, it's in the works.
It's coming out no matter what.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can say that. And if people want to order this, the Battle Kittens, I mentioned the book. I don't think I actually mentioned the actual book. Battle Kittens, The Art of Ardart.
Ardart, yeah. Sketchbook. Just bits and pieces. There's a lot of Battle Kittens art. There's a couple pieces from an illustrated Paradise Lost that I did. The back cover is all these little drawings that I did for... when I was working at an animation studio, there was one bathroom stall where when you sat down, you faced a wall. So I was just sick and tired of facing this blank wall. Well, not old.
Doing a lot of pooping. Yeah. A lot of pooping.
Yeah. All you're doing is drawing kittens and pooping at work.
And a lot of crying, too.
That's working on My Little Pony.
Yeah. So I just started... So I just started putting up these little, I had these little tiny frames that are only like 2 inches by 1 inch, and then I kept putting up a new drawing every week that so people could have something to look at, and I tried to keep it as anonymous as long as possible.
So you like a little bathroom, a little private bathroom gallery.
Yeah, and once people found out who I was, they came up to me and they're like, oh, I look forward to going to the bathroom on Monday. See, <they're> like,
also because of your art. Yeah. Is this the first book of yours since Rabbit Head?
Actually it is. I mean, I had a couple little stories and anthologies. But this is the first solo, since Rabbit Heads.
And it's available if people want to buy it online. It's in the Cinema Sewer store, which is at cinemasewer.com. And then there's like a link to the online store there, and there'll be Battle Kittens in there.
Battle Kittens, partly black and white, partly color, all awesome. I think we're gonna do another quick song, and then we'll come back, and maybe we'll find a little bit about Bougie. Is that song good, kids? Let's. What are we listening to now, Mr. Bouge?
I believe this is Handsome Furs coming up next, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite Canadian band right now, and I designed the T-shirt for their latest tour for their new album, and this track's called "Serve the People."
All right, we'll be right back. Inkslud, CITR 101.9 FM.
Serve the people.
And we're back. Inksud, CITR 101.9 FM. How's everybody doing?
Great.
I'm on the fence.
I am joined by Robin Bougie, Rebecca Dart, and Brandon Graham. I have a call-in guest. Will you please introduce yourself?
Introduce myself?
Introduce.
That's what the host is supposed to do.
Fine. We got Brian Fukushima here from
Yay,
Toronto.
Hey, Brian.
I was trying to surprise these guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Brian. My name is Brian. I'm calling from Toronto.
There we go. Brian from Toronto.
Vancouver.
Formerly Vancouver.
Are you a long-time listener, first-time caller?
Wow. You know what? Have I ever called in?
No. You've been called in on, but yeah. We don't need to talk about that.
Or as they say out here, called out.
Oot. How is life in Toronto, Mr. Brian?
It's pretty good, you know. It's all right. I can't complain.
Now, you have your own thing going on this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Fan Expo thing and try to sell a mini comic, which I have not yet made. I'm in the middle of making it right now, and I'm going to go to Fan Expo and be at the Koyama Press table, hanging out with those dudes. And making a comic about hamburgers. So if you're in Toronto, come by and get it. If you're going to be at SPX, you can get it there, and I'll have it on the internet later.
All right, that sounds good.
I like hamburgers.
How are you guys doing? How's everything over there?
It's pretty good, actually. Yep. No complaints.
I heard you made a Foxtar song recently.
Totally did.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking I could do right now is I could make up a song about Robin Bougie.
I would love that.
I don't know if this is gonna. Hold on. Tell me if you can hear this okay. Robin Bougie. Does that sound like anything?
Yeah.
Sounds like magic.
Robin Bougie at the Main Street, 7-Eleven, eating a sandwich with new slices of pizza there instead of bread. No, it's not that good. No, it's not any good. No, it don't taste like it, but I feel hungry. Oh, it's Robin's cookie. Eating a pizza sandwich in 2006. Sandwich earlier.
I was just going to say, that was a reference to me eating pizza sandwiches from 7-Eleven.
What was a pizza sandwich?
It was a short-lived pizza sandwich that 7-Eleven sold.
It was two pieces of pizza with sandwich fixings in the middle.
Yeah, like it was like salami, turkey, lettuce, and like, you know, I don't know if there was mayo or what in the middle, but
is the word instead of bread, there was pizza.
Yeah, it was pizza sandwich.
It was like E-apostrophe-E-A-T, like eat, eating, apostrophe, second apostrophe, Z-Z-A, I think.
And I was, like, addicted to them.
They were not good.
And I was the only one that likes them.
Do they look like a pizza, or are they triangle-shaped? Or?
It looked like two pizzas that were, like, upside down and stuck together.
Did they actually just take two pieces and just be like...
Probably.
They just emptied a ham sandwich in the middle. And
it was pizza that had fallen on the floor and was all gross, and then they just stuck them together, yeah.
I think some marketer came up with that on one drunk bender or something.
You know what would be great right now, I could really kill for, is pizza and a sandwich together.
Yeah, my roommate in college used to make these things.
The funny thing is that they tried to connect eats and pizza as a word, and they didn't go after trying to combine sandwich and pizza in any way at all.
I know, it's really weird. They're like, well, we want to make sure people try to eat it.
We better have instructions in the title.
and it's there. Maybe it's something that people were doing anyway, and they're like, you know, we can make some money off this. Like people were buying the pizza and the sandwich and assembling it. Like, although if they were smart, they would have put the nacho cheese all over it.
And this was sober food for you, wasn't it, Robin?
Yeah, this was everyday food for me.
Because I could see yeah. being like you mentioned college, being like if someone's like wicked stoned, that would be what they ate, and they're not responsible for their own actions. They're like playing a lot of Mega Man, eating some eats.
Eats. And I had to say it like that every time I got it, too. I'm like, if you're going to spell it like that, I'm going to say it like that.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about you.
I don't know if that relates to comics other than that comics people eat horrible food all the time.
And if you're going to make hamburger comics, then everything is on the table.
Well, one of our friends was commenting, I was like, Robin, you have food poisoning more often than anybody on the
show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know why either, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think we just found out.
Well, I remember when we came back from the States, we traveled together, and you bought that bottle of Bailey's. And what did you do with the Bailey's that night?
I can't remember.
What did you mix it with orange juice.
Oh, God, that's right.
I've heard of that. Oh. I don't understand it.
Oh, it turned out horrible.
That's weird that wouldn't taste delicious.
Well, Irish cream has, like, milk has cream in it, right?
Yeah.
And orange juice has acid.
Yeah.
And so when you mix those together, does it not curdle?
Yeah. That's exactly what it did.
And did you drink it?
I tried to.
Oh, no.
Well, I got through about a quarter of it before I realized what had happened, and by that time I was almost throwing up. So
why not finish it?
Why not finish it?
Yeah. That's like when my girlfriend tried to mix limoncello with Advocat.
Oh. You just made those words up.
You just made those words up.
Wait, is that an avocado liqueur?
No. Advocat is an egg liqueur.
It's someone who advocates cats.
Yeah.
It's egg?
Egg.
Why would you drink an egg booze?
I don't know. Eggnog?
Oh, that's true. Eggnog's good.
Oh.
In case you want your eggnog to be even eggier when you get drunk.
I'm really liking how you're saying the word egg.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I'm very sensitive to accents lately.
Do you miss Vancouver?
I do. I'm coming back in October. I'll see everybody hopefully sometime in October. I'm going to come back and visit. But I haven't been back since I moved out here in December, and I do miss it.
That'll be fresh.
I miss all the sushi. There's not very good sushi out here.
Yeah. We got good sushi.
Yeah, there's good. I definitely miss all the food that I used to eat there. I'm going to...
What's better food in Toronto than here?
What's better?
Yeah, what do you get that's better there?
Well, there's better Caribbean food here.
Or the roti.
Yeah. Lots of good, like, Indian and stuff.
It's true, there's hardly any good roti here.
Yeah, so, I mean, anything that, it's shocking that there's not that many, like, there's not a lot of Asian-ness out here. I mean, there is. I mean, I live near Chinatown, but...
It's like when I went to the States and I was in Vermont and like, hey, we're going to go for Thai food. I'm like, what? And it was like all white people working there. I'm like, why would I go to Vermont and have Thai food when I live in Vancouver and I get fantastic Thai food here?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, well, you know, different places have different things, and each city is a special flower that is an individual that...
Oh, shut up.
are you talking about cities or vaginas?
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for calling in.
Well,
we miss
for
you, buddy.
Me. And it's nice talking to you guys. And hopefully, I'll see you soon.
I think we will
see you in October, buddy.
Yay!
Rocktober.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, enjoy some something at Three Lions for me.
Oh, we were there yesterday.
Yeah, we were.
I found the service isn't as good lately. Enjoying the Guinness. We've been drinking a lot of the Guinness.
I still drink the Bruised Pear.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh,
one.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You introduced me to that. I'd never heard of it before.
It's amazing.
Okay. Well, have fun, everybody.
See ya.
I know I will.
Bye.
Turn this radio show into a, and listening into a three-way call. No, you hang up.
Oh. Brandon.
The cold stare on air.
The cold stare. Okay, we're gonna play a quick song and we'll come back, and then we'll chat with Bougie about some of the stuff he's got coming up.
Yes, please.
And coming out. Okay, we'll be right back. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you.
back. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. This is the radio show about comics from the fine University of British Columbia. Almost exactly a year ago, I finished my studies here.
Wow, congratulations.
I just thought about that. Yeah, thank you. It's don't ask me what I've done with it, because I don't know. Maybe I do know. We were just talking about me drinking beer. My guests right now, all appearing at the Comics and Stories Comic Convention on Sunday at Heritage Hall, 3102 Main Street. I'm joined by Robin Bougie, Rebecca Dart, and Brandon Graham.
Hey.
Hey. Now, that song felt good, like we're building up for you, Bougie.
Yeah, it felt like newsroom music.
We're
gonna get on the horn. We're gonna give you some real info now.
Now, since last time you're on, you've had two books come out and a third one coming out. Toot sweet.
Yeah. Yep. Cinema Sewer book 1, 2, and three. They're published by Fab Press in the UK. And I'm pretty excited about the third one coming out and to kind of do some promotion and get people excited about it as well. I've been doing these 1-hour book drawings and the inside front cover of every copy that people buy from me in person on my website. That's cinemasewer.com. So basically you order the third book and you can give me like a hint as to what you want drawn in the inside cover. I pretty much only do dirty stuff, so
I gotta say, I love you, Bougie, but you're getting filthier and filthier with time. Like, the drawings, like, you look at them and you're like, where does this come from?
Yeah, I just, you know, I like mixing it up. It started out like, oh, I just want to do stuff that's kind of sexy. And now I'm kind of like, you know what? I want to do stuff that's confusing. I want to do porn that confuses the crap out of people.
Yeah, you said that to me the other day. You were talking about how you wanted people to not quite know how they feel about it.
Yeah, I
like that. And kind of, I mean, aside from porn too, I like just the idea of like it poses a question to the reader. Like, you know,
that's the main problem with most porn is it's too straight ahead. It's too cut and dry. And I think more of it needs to be confusing.
Yeah, like why would she have a shovel?
Exactly.
Oh, and Brandon, your next release is going to be pornography.
It's probably going to be The Thickness too. Either that or the Dark Horse thing, whichever comes out first. A Dark Horse Presents short story.
You want to tell us a little bit about the Thickness 2 story?
Yeah.
Since
we're on that topic. Yeah, it's really nice. It was nice to have a... Because I did porn comics for years ago, and I always put it behind me, like, that's my sordid past, and then kind of getting involved with the... I'm really excited about the new Thickness. It has a ton of cool, exciting artists in it. It's got Michael DeForge and... Who's in it? You remember the lineup better than I do.
Mickey Zekeely, Angie Wang, Lisa Hanwalt, and just recently announced Chilean Tamaki will be doing something too.
And who's that published by?
By Ryan Sands.
Yes, oh, okay.
Who does the Electric Ant zine.
Oh, cool.
And he did that Lady Gaga zine that's really amazing, Prison for Bitches.
It does a lot of really cool stuff. But yeah, I took the opportunity to... I'm basically doing like a dirty pair kind of parody... fan comic porn thing for it, kind of riffing on all the manga stuff of my teenage years and all the like Dirty Pair Adam Warren stuff, and really just kind of embracing the nerdy. I've been, you know, listening to Neuromancer audiobook while I draw it, and I've got all my apple seeds out and everything. It's been really fun, and there's sex in it with a robot.
Not possible. I really liked the pages that I saw you working on the other day. They look really good.
Thank you. Really fun to work on.
Now, you're not just doing books, Bougie. You've got some new comics coming out, too.
Yeah. There's going to be a new Sleazy Slice in February, and that's an anthology of weird and perverse comics that I do. Maxine Frank and I just finished a 30-page comic about giant 20-story naked women who fight in the streets of Vancouver. It's called Naked Girl Big Battle, and
that one is so amazing.
Yeah, it was fun drawing. Like, we went out with one day, Rebecca and Maxine and I, with the camera, and just took a bunch of pictures of various like buildings that we liked, and then used those for like reference, and then drew them getting like bashed apart and stuff by these giant naked women. And it's 30 pages of that. If that sounds like it's up your alley, then yeah, look forward to Sleazy Slice.
I really like the way you're piloting the lady too.
Yeah, we, Maxine and I climb inside of her, and we drive her around from the inside with these video game controllers.
You guys are amazing. tell me about the collaborative process that you've been doing with Maxine, because the last time you're on, you hadn't started working with her yet.
Yeah, it's actually really kind of fun thing we've been doing, where we get together like once a week, usually like in a coffee shop in the neighborhood, and we just pass the pages back and forth, and we just kind of, it's kind of like an elaborate jam comic, and there's no real rules to it at all. Like sometimes I'll pencil a panel and she'll ink it, or other times, you know, we'll I'll just do two or three panels in a row, and then she'll do. And we basically try to get our art styles to kind of match each other, so it looks like one person's been doing it. And it's the thing I like about it so much is that, you know, when you're drawing comics and you're like, oh, I'm really dreading this panel coming up. Like, I don't want to have to draw that. And then it's like, if only there was somebody else here to like just do it for me. 9 times out of 10, you know, she's more excited about it than I am, or the other way around. So that's kind of the fun thing about doing it that way.
I remember reading about Eastman and Laird talking about how they had to kind of set up the good panels. They'd be like, all right, don't take all the fights for yourself. The thing I really enjoy about seeing when you and Maxine work together is they always pick these like kind of these cozy little grandma coffee shops that just draw their filthy.
Well, those are the most quiet ones. We like coffee shops that nobody else goes to, and it's always the ones that are just like, yeah.
Does your tea come in a little doily?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd think that would affect the work somehow. Like, man, this porn's getting pretty doily.
No, it's been good, actually. We don't, considering how severe and crazy the content is, we've never gotten any sort of, like, people usually, like, look over our shoulder, and they're like, whoa, cool. So, yeah, I don't know.
Bah!
Yeah.
It's a laid-back town.
It is a laid-back town.
We have an email question for you, Brandon. From John Carnes. Hi, Robin. Question for Brandon. Is there a release date scheduled for multiple Warheads and a proper King City collection?
There is... Basically, multiple Warheads comes out as soon as I finish one more issue. I'm actually sending them the first... I'm doing 4 or 5 issues. I think 4 for the first batch and then a 5th annual at once. And so as soon as I finish just the last issue, they'll all come out at once, like in a kind of a monthly for 5 months. And then King City, it's been such a long, it's really fun. It's been just this incredible, like, about a month ago, I think I got an email that was just like, okay, it's going forward, we're doing this now. And so it looks like it's going to happen, but I have no idea. It's just the negotiation. It takes amazingly long to, I saw something dated the other day about when King City, it was like 2008, it was like the original Image issue started coming out, and I was like, man, that was a million years ago.
It's something you have no control over.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen, but yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I'll do a new cover for it. That's kind of
for those of you that don't are missing issues, you can always just harass Brandon at a comic convention. So I think we have another caller. Should we bring them on? Quick question.
Yeah,
let's do it. You're on Inkstead CITR. Who are we talking to?
Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm looking for Marie.
You got the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
That was hilarious.
That is awesome.
That was actually my favorite moment from the entire show.
That was.
The funny thing is Marie's here.
Yeah.
I should have come on.
You should have been Marie.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor lady. I'm sorry, ma'am.
You were just on a radio show.
You were just on a radio show. You don't want to know what they were just talking about. Okay, so you guys are going to have lots of stuff on Sunday. Reminder, folks, Heritage Hall Comic Convention, 3102 Main Street. Robin Bougie, Rebecca Dart, Brandon Graham will all be there, as well as... Who wants to read the list?
Oh, it's a long list.
Do we have to?
You can say Ralston and Stoko and...
Yep.
And hopefully I will have Battle Kitten t-shirts.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, first come, first serve. We've only got about 20 shirts, so show up early. And it starts at 11 a.m. and it goes to 5 p.m.
Now, these t-shirts, are they made for combat?
Yes. They're made out of dragon skin and rhino scrotum. They've been blessed by a wizard, and they're ready for battle.
A war wizard.
Yes. In fact, you have to fight me to buy one.
Yeah, that's the scariest part of the whole transaction.
What image is on them? Is it the same one?
It's the same image that's on the cover. They're dark brown shirts with orange and white image.
Nice.
And I will also have some original art that I'll be selling as well.
Little, very nice.
Little Bayberian portraits.
Bayberian.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Aryan babes.
That's just wrong. Oh, guys. Well, thank you all for coming out today. I very much appreciate it. Once again, Robin Bougie, Rebecca Dart, Brandon Graham.
Thank you for having us.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm going to play a song. What's the song we're playing, Rebecca?
This is called
Game Is My Middle Name.
Game Is My Middle Name by Bette Davis, not the actress. This is a very different looking Bette Davis.
All right.
Queen of Funk.
Queen of Funk. And at 3 o'clock, we have Japanese Music West. And at 3:30, what do we have? It's been a while since I've been in the station. It's a fill-in. It doesn't even say anything. I don't know who's on at 3:30. Something's on at 3:30. At 5 o'clock, Barn Burner by hosted by Bobby Ferris. At 6 p.m., Are You Aware? 7:30, Stereoscopic Readout. That's a great name. And at 9 p.m., the always legendary Live from Thunderbird Hell. Thank you all for listening, and stay tuned to inkstuds.com. Go check out stuff on the website. I've got a whole whack of new interesting interviews I've been posting. One that's not going to play it on radio because it's too long, with Italian master Igort as well. One I did with a while ago with another Italian master, Lorenzo Matati. And some interviews coming up will include Shannon Wheeler from Too Much Coffee Man. M.K. Reed, her new book Americas is out from First Second Books as well. I am going to be talking to Craig Thompson at some point this week and posting an interview with him. His new book Habibi is mighty pretty and it's fantastic, I'm going to say, having read just the first 20 pages. It's pretty good.
It looks really cool.
It looks really cool. So thank you all for listening, and have a good day. Heavy one.